fulfill over the year. In my world, what I do is I do a pledge, but I start by sowing a seed on the day, actual cash, real money or deposit. And so it's like a seed towards the year that I'm going to outwork that pledge. So I just encourage you probably to do the same. This year, we're believing for greater things. And for your life and for the church. I want you to understand that when we talk about the church, I'm talking about you. I want you to get that. Because as you prosper, we prosper. As you prosper in your world, City Point North prospers. And so what I am not asking is that you sacrifice of yourself so that we can build buildings and you're at home struggling to put dinner on the table. Okay? That's not called faith, that's called foolishness. Right, so that's not what we're after. But what I am after is a stretch of your faith. So what does a stretch of your faith look like? Well, it looks like you're giving more than what you gave last year. Because am I okay just to preach like straight at the point? Is that, are we okay? Are we mature enough for that as a church? So the reason why we give more than last year is because if we can't have the faith for that, that means the previous 12 months, God has not been able to stretch the faith in our worlds. And I don't know about you, but every single day of my life, I wake up and I want God to stretch my faith greater than what it was stretched yesterday. Because I understand something. I understand that my salvation is through my faith. Therefore, everything that I obtain from God, all godliness and everything of heaven, comes through the avenue of faith. So as Christians, we must exercise our faith. Now, we aren't saved by works, but there's rewards from our works. And so as we activate faith, we reap rewards. The Bible says that as we sow seed, we will reap a harvest. That as we give, it will be given to us. That how we treat others is how we will be treated. So there's a return on everything we do. As we smile to people, we tend to find they smile back, right? So when we show love to our neighbor, when you mow their lawn, one day they're going to mow yours. I just say that because I did that yesterday to my neighbor. Tick. I was on the ride on and I was mowing my lawn and I was like, you know what? I could just go straight there and mow his. So it's kind of awkward. I find that stuff quite awkward. So I'm just like looking, okay, car's there. All the windows are shut. They're not going to know. They're not in the backyard. Go. So I just, bam, just went. And if they ask me, I'll deny everything. It wasn't me. But I don't like to be out of my comfort zone. But, you know, sometimes faith does that to us, doesn't it? When we activate our faith, we are outside of our comfort zone. Money's one of those subjects. See, I said today we're going to talk money, and for some of us, the hairs on the back of our neck went up. For others of us, the mind shut down, the spirit man shut down. Others of us are still in the battle to be even listening without judging my every word, but to hear and allow the Spirit of God to speak and do something in our lives. See, faith requires something that takes us out of our comfort zone. And here's the thing is, until we mature in our faith to get to the point to step out of what we've always known, we will not understand and live the reality of God's blessing and favor for our lives. If you do what you've always done, you're going to get what you've always been given. But I know that I'm in a church that wants greater things, that wants more, that wants to impact the world for more, that wants to have so much food on our table we have to invite our neighbors over, that wants so much finances in our world that we can't do anything but bless people and give to people and shout people coffees. We aren't caught up on things like having the best and the newest and the most update, but we are caught up on the things like blessing other people and sharing the gospel and giving of ourselves and sacrificing to see someone else prosper. Is that the church? Am I in the right place? It's just quiet. It's just quiet. I just feel like I'm giving more than what I'm receiving. I'm just going to read a scripture. So I've titled today's message, Enough Isn't Enough. Enough is not enough. You know, the problem with enough is enough is actually never enough. Think about that. Just think about it. Apply it in your world in a few areas. I just need enough to pay for this bill. Then the next bill comes. So guess what? You still don't have enough because you got another bill. I just need enough to put food on the table. That's great Monday, but what about Tuesday? You just need enough for more food on the table. So we feel like we just work to the core, don't we? We just work and we just work just to get through our weeks. You know, that this is the curse of the world. But God has good news, and he's written 2,000 verses to help us through this. And the good news is he's a God of more than enough. He's a God of abundance. Come on, church. I said he's a God of more than enough this morning. He's a God of abundance for you. What that means is we have too much food in our cupboard, so we have to invite somebody. It means that, like, I'm looking at my month's budget and I've got a lot of extra cash this month, so I'm going to bless somebody. It means that when we look in our wallet and we only have $5.25 for a coffee, a medium latte with caramel at Zarafa's drive-thru, and it's not a coffee, that drink, and you want to bless somebody and you've only got the money for one, you buy their coffee and you drink water, because that's what it looks like to be a Christian of generosity. And when you do that, God will bless you. I promise you, because I've actually practiced this. When I went to Bible college, I was $200 a week behind making it. And I did not stop buying one coffee for anybody. But there were times I only had enough money in my wallet for one. And I brought it to shout somebody and be generous, to be the light of the world, to reflect the love that Jesus, that he would give up his only one son for us, to get all of us sons and daughters back to him. And that I'm sowing one coffee, but I'm reaping a harvest. And you know what? The years of Bible college are over, and I understood what it was to be tight, but I also understood what it was to walk through being a generous person. And now I reap the rewards of his blessing in my life. You know what I'm saying? Can you feel this morning? Can we apply this to our world? Ephesians 4. I'm going to just break this chapter down a little bit because I want us to get the context of Ephesians 4. So verse 1 says this. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. Walk worthy of the calling. Paul's saying to us here that as Christians, see, we have been called, right? You were called into the kingdom of light from the kingdom of darkness. And we put this badge on called, Christian. I'm a Christian. But we have to walk worthy of this call. And so in this chapter, we're going to see what it looks like to walk worthy of the call to be a Christian. Verse 17 says, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk." In other words, you could say be in the world, but not of the world. Or I go to work every day and they talk like this, but I talk a heavenly language. I talk a blessing language when they're pulling each other down and saying all those words, that we don't repeat in the house of God. Well, we think, but we don't say. Those words, when they're speaking that, we're speaking life. You know, I think I've shared this story before, but before I was working at the church in my trade, the smoko van comes around every day, and I love it. Spicy chicken wings, it's my favorite. And came around, and all the shops come to the smoko van, and there was this day, this girl from one of the other shops, she was buying something. I think she was 50 cents or 20 cents short. And the smoko man's like, "Oh, you're 20 cents short." And she's, "Oh, it's okay. I'll just quickly run back and grab it." I said, no. I said, "It's just 20 cents. I've got it." No rubbish. She turned around and looked at me like I was hitting on her or something and just went, "It's all good." And she ran off and got the 20 cents and brought it back. And it just blew me for a six. Like, I was just like, are you serious? That we are in such a place in this world that generosity is so foreign that it's actually offensive. Wow. Wow. How amazing. That it just it blew my mind, and I realized I need to be generous more. You know, we need to shift this culture in our world. And the only way I can possibly see it shift is if the church rises and we understand finances and money, and we understand that when we give all we've got, it doesn't mean we've given all we've got. What it actually means is we're sowing in to get. Does that make sense? So when we give that last $10, you're not without, you're creating an avenue of increase. See, some things in the Bible just simply work. I don't know if anyone's noticed that, but when you pray, you may get an answer. If you don't pray, you won't get an answer. Right? So when you smile, you get a smile. When you give, it's given back. When you talk nice, people tend to talk nice to you. If you don't smell, you'll attract a girl. Girls, when you talk positively, you'll attract a guy. So some things just work, right? These are just principles. And one of those principles is that when you give, you receive. It's just that simple. And so when we get the revelation of this, we then realize that giving isn't about pain. It's about increase. It's about greater. It's about more. And so Jesus did an amazing thing before he left. He set up his church. And then he just threw some scriptures in the Bible saying that we are his bride, and that one day he's going to come back for his bride. And then he just threw some other scriptures in there, things like, you know, bring your seed into the storehouse so it's filled to overflowing. And we know that the storehouse is the house of God. And so, and then somehow the devil creeps into the minds of believers, and we seem to think that every time the church asks for your money, we're asking that because we simply need to put the, you know, the power on and pay a wage or two, and well, yeah, we do. It's just the way it is. But we also know, and the reason why I have no fear at all in asking for us to do that is because I understand the principles of the Bible. And the last thing I want to do is lead a church into victory where the church is bleeding while the church looks like it's prosperous. But the people inside are bleeding because we can't put food. That's not what I'm after. So for us to be a prosperous people, which would make us a prosperous church in the community, we have to look finances and money right in the eye. And we have to get this revelation that as I give, I receive. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Why? Because the running over is to bless others. It's not for us. But here's the beautiful thing, is while we sit in the middle and we're giving and God's giving to us to give to others, just more happens to end up in our world. More kindness, more joy, more love, more finances. As we continue to give out, see, God has set his church up so that he can use you and I to bless them. It's just like a tube, and you got one end and the other, and God pulls it all in one end, and we are at the other. If it can't get through us, it won't get to us. He'll stop it and move on to the next tube, the next person. If he can't get it through us, it'll stop coming to us. I know that because the Bible says he gives seed to a sower. Yeah, that's right. Wow. So in other words, if you don't sow, the seed stops and it dies in the ground, in the thorny bush. But if you're a sower, you'll always have seed, which means you'll always have an abundance. You'll always have too much. You'll always have greater. You'll always have more than enough. Come on, is there anyone want this in the house this morning? Well, that's how you receive it, is we sow. Anyway, I've got to get into a bit of scripture here. Be all holy. Verse 22 says, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. I've circled the word there, deceit, or I've underlined deceitful lust. which is the old man, and we shift the deceitful by being renewed in our mind, which is through the Spirit. Can we see that in the text? Deceitful lust. Deceitful lust. So what deceit is in lust is whether it's a lust for finances, for money, whether it's a sexual lust, whatever the type of lust is, what the deceit is that as we fulfill the lust, we are fulfilled. That's the deceit of the enemy. So anybody that has had it, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but this is probably all of us, but anyone that's had an addiction or something in their world, right? Whenever you fulfill that addiction, does it stop? Or does it then just return? It satisfies, you know, if shopping's your addiction, right? You go out and you buy a new bag or buy new shoes or whatever it is. But if it's a stronghold in your world, if it's an addiction, you get those shoes, you go home, you open them up, you wear them the first time to church, everyone goes well, but then guess what? You're looking at your next pair of shoes, right? Now, I say that because I'm not addicted to shoes, okay? But I just love them. Anyway, I started with the handbags because that applies to my wife, right? So when we fulfill the desires of the flesh, whatever that is, the desires do not go away. That's the deception to lust. So then we got to realize that deception of lust is actually to the old man. So what's Paul talking about? Well, the Bible says that when we receive Jesus through faith, that we become new creations. The old man has passed away, behold, all things are new. So what that means is that our mindsets shift from the old, lustful, deceitful way of thinking into a new heavenly concept paradigm within our world. And the only way this transformation can happen in our world is by reading the Word of God. Because the Bible says that as we read the Word of God, it washes our minds and it renews our mind. Now, whatever happens in our mind drops into our heart and it becomes the purpose of the heart. And so whatever the purpose of the heart is what we then act out of. So the only way we can conquer money and finances is to change the purpose in our heart by reading the Word of God to renew our mind, which will change our actions in the end. Does that make sense? It's not too complicated. So as we read the Bible, church, these 2,000 scriptures in the Bible about this topic, and we just keep going, Holy Spirit, as I read, just change my mind, renew my mind, change my paradigms, my thinking from the old man to the new creation that I now am in you. Because I was once a sinner, but now I'm the righteousness of Christ. So God, help me to walk out that righteousness. Like Paul said, that we ought to walk worthy of the calling of God on our lives. Yeah. And what that means is if Jesus says that we are his crown of righteousness, which the Bible says, right, we need to then endeavor to walk righteous. And to walk righteous, we need to renew our mind, change our perspective and our perceptions. So when we walk into church and we say the word money, we go, yes, here I am and I am prepared to give because I understand the principle that as I give, I'm going to reap the reward. I'm going to reap the harvest, not just in my world, but in this community. You know, the truth is, as we understand generosity properly, tithing is not an issue. You know, the church has just been weighed down by this word tithe for way too long. For way too long. City Point North, we are not this church. You know, when we talk tithing, we do not go, that's Old Testament. We do not say, well, I don't agree with that. And if you do, that's fine. But what I want us to understand is generosity. Because generosity says this. Tithing is not the goal. When you are a generous person and you've changed in your heart by renewing your mind, your perspective and your perception of finances, blessing, money and all that, we then realize tithing 10% is not the goal. We then stop getting hung up. Is it gross or is it net or is it this? Is it before? Is it after the bills? You know, blah, 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 blah. We stop thinking this stuff and holding ourselves in bondage by a word. We then realize that tithing is the firm foundation in which we go from. Right. It's no longer the end goal. It's our starting point. Yeah. So this is how it looks like practically for us as a church. Now that tithing is not the end goal, we might be starting at 1% here today. And that is fine because the Christian life is a journey. The Bible says to walk out our Christian life with fear and trembling. In other words, when you said, God, I receive you as my Lord and Savior, until the day we're in heaven, we fight for our faith. Okay, if you've been a Christian more than, you know, a little time frame, you understand exactly what I'm talking about. Because every day, doesn't the enemy just come to us and tries to say you aren't worth it? You know, tries to say you can't do that, that you're not valuable, that he doesn't love you. And every day, church, we get up and we say, yeah, but I'm a son and a daughter of God. And you know what? I might not feel worth it, but I know to him I am. I know that he says that I'm his child and that I am righteous today and that I'm blessed and I'm whole deep down inside. So enemy, and we fight for our faith, don't we, church? And when it comes to this thing, I've actually just lost my train of thought, so I'm just going to go back to my notes. But as we fight daily for this thing and we understand that tithing doesn't hold us, right, we can start at 1% today. And like I said, we believe in for greater things. So let's look to 2. You know, if you're at 8% today, let's look to 9. If you're 10%, you haven't reached the goal. Because generosity is our goal. And if we are to use Jesus as our example, he gave it all for you. He gave it all for me. And that's not to make it hard for you, but it's for us to realize at the end of the day, he has us in his hand.
Yeah, right.
And he's a God of abundance. He's a God of plenty. He's a God of blessing. He's a God that just longs, you know, the whole concept of money. Do you know what it really is? Is God wants what's so precious to us to be given to him because we are so precious to him.
Right, right,
Graham. He wants what's so precious to us because we are so precious to him. I want you to hear that today. God wants our money, not because he needs money, he doesn't, but with everything in who he is and his nature, all he wants to do is pour out blessing on you. That's all he wants to do. And like I said earlier, there is just a result to everything we do in life. There's a result, okay? What he has done is he has set up an avenue for us to receive his abundance and his blessing, and it's generosity. I don't need your money here at City Point North because my faith is in Jesus. I want you to understand that. I'm not one of those pastors that's going to be crying in my bedroom at home on my knees every day, come on, God, we need money. Because I understand the exact same principle that I'm saying to you is that as I'm generous, I know the blessing of God comes onto you and you become generous. And as we become generous, the windows of heaven are open, the Bible says, and he pours out his blessing, pressed down, shaking together and running over so that you and I could be in abundance to this community. That's why the church is a light in a dark place. That's why we are a people where people look at us and see victory and power and love overwhelming is because we are a people that walk in abundance. And so we can bring abundance back to our fellow men in our workplace, whether it's love, whether it's kindness with our words, or whether it's our finances. Do we see that today, church?
Yeah, that's great.
You know, this whole chapter that I've only partly read, it's a character building chapter. So it's Ephesians 4 if you want to read it at home. And it's a chapter that really builds our character if we just go through it and through it. The essence of this verse is not that we get jobs or that we work hard or we stop stealing and things like that, although they are all great things that we should do. They're noble things, right? The essence is that you will have something to give to others. That's the essence of chapter 4 of Ephesians, is that God wants us to have something to give to somebody else. God's desire is that we will trust Him with what is so precious. The truth that the Scripture shows us is generosity releases God's blessing and His favor. And I know that I want the favor of God in my world. Does anyone else want the favor of God today? You know, when I was at my old church, C3 Church, I remember my music director, we were talking about houses and things like that. And he just made this comment to me and it stuck with me. And I was a bit, I don't know, maybe my heart wasn't prepared to receive it. So I kind of just, I suppose I mocked it deep down inside, but it hit me and I walked away from the conversation thinking, I want to be like that. And he said, Gray, I have all this because I've got the favor. He's a bit smart and he goes, I walk in the favor, man. And I'm like, that's great, but I've got favor too. But now I've learned over the years what he was talking about. He was talking about he has so much because he gives so much. He knew that as he gave so much in his world, that he was walking in the favor of God every single day of his life. And so I adopted that into my world and I went, you know what? I want the favor of God. And this is what I said. I will give anything to have the favor of God. Have you ever said that? God, I will give anything to walk and feel your presence. I will give anything that when I pray for the sick that they would be healed. I will give anything, God, for you to just use me. Is there anyone here this morning like this? I will give anything, God, for you to do a miracle in my life. I will give anything. Would we give what's so precious to us? Because we are so precious to Him. Come on. When we give what is so precious to us, we release in heaven. We open the windows of heaven. And God goes, and I have been waiting for that. And He just pours out abundance, abundance, abundance. We reap a harvest that we cannot contain, the Bible says. So it pours out of the doors of the church. In other words, it pours out of the doors of your life. Amen? 2 Corinthians 9, 5-11 says this. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren to go to you ahead of time, to prepare your generous gift beforehand, which you have previously promised, that it may be ready as a matter of generosity and not as a grudging obligation. Verse 6, but this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. You know what, I truly believe that we can count giving as a joy. We can count giving as a joy, but it's determined upon what you purpose in your heart. And the thing that I've learned in life is what we purpose in our heart has to happen before the fact. So in other words, if you don't purpose in your heart after today's message and actually apply this message to your life, outwork it, and you go home and you sit yourself down and go, you know what? I'm going to purpose in my heart to count giving a joy. Next time I bring up the word money next week, we're going to be starting from the exact same point. But I'm imagining, and I have a vision, that we are a church that goes from blessing to blessing, from understanding to understanding, from revelation to revelation. In other words, that we take this word home today. And we go, you know what? This word is going to be a transformational word in my world Because like Pastor Gray said, there's a big elephant in front of me every time I look at my income every week. And I decide through the power of the Holy Spirit that I'm going to bust through this thing. And I'm going to be one of those people that walks around blessing others. That's why the Bible says to be the lender. That's why the Bible says not to go to people for a loan, but be the person that people come to so that you can lend, because we are blessed above and beyond. If I could have the worship team come join me on platform. Here's the reality. If we don't choose Jesus, we don't receive his salvation. If we don't live righteously, we still suffer sin's effects. Not necessarily as a salvation issue, Christian or not Christian, if we don't live righteously, we will suffer guilt. If we don't live according to the Word of God, you know, there's people that aren't Christians, business people, and they apply the principles of generosity and they reap the rewards. Did you know that? You know, this is one of the greatest things I learned about the Bible. Is the Bible is full of principles for Christians and not Christians. The Bible is full of principles for humanity. And so as Christians, we can often think, well, now that I'm a Christian, this all just automatically works. But it's not true. See, we are saved, but if we want to reap the rewards, we've got to act upon the Word of God. And we throw this out in the church because we say things like, you know, we're not saved by works and, you know, blah, 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 and we go on this journey of works, and so we stop doing things. But we will be judged by our works. That's what the Bible says. You know, judged to righteousness. You know, not judged of sin, but judged of our righteous works. In other words, God's going to say to us one day, you know, I'll put you in an amazing church with a good-looking and amazing pastors, and they preached all the time about blessing and prosperity, but what did you do with the message?
That's right. Come on, bro.
And I would love to think that we will be the sort of people that we can go, oh, well, do you remember that day? Because I went home and I purposed in my heart that I'll never be the same again. And that next week when I came with a different attitude, a different purpose, and I outworked the Word. And Jesus, the best thing happened. I had more than I had ever had before. I felt more love in me. I had more joy in me. I never saw it as a weight around me ever again. In fact, I saw it as my platform. Jesus, my whole paradigm changed. I was once bound by 10%, and then I ended up just giving so much more. In fact, whenever I could, because you just kept flowing to me. And you know what Jesus will do is he'll smile and he'll go, and that's why I gave my life for you. It's because as I sacrificed myself, I received you and you and him. And see this crowd of witnesses before me, the Bible says, that are cheering us on. I received all of them as well. And look down, I received all the church that's still on planet Earth right now. So my sacrifice brought so much, and I'm glad that as you sacrificed what was so precious to you, I was able to pour out all over you because you're so precious to me. Amen. Do you receive that today, church? Why don't we stand to our feet right now? You know, God's plan is always more. It's not less. Poverty is always a curse. A poverty mindset is a curse. Lack of finances, faith, love, hope, it always will limit your potential where you can go in life. So let's shake this off today. Let's shake off the poverty mindset today. You know, when we're at home, and this is something I had to train myself with. You know, the kids come, Dad, can I grab this? I don't say, you know, we don't have the money today. You know, I don't say things like that. What I do say is I choose not to buy that for you today, because I've changed my mindset from a lack, a poverty mindset. Yeah. There is no such thing that I do not have enough, because I'm a generous, blessed person.
Right.
I always have more than enough.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter what the wallet says. What matters is what my faith is prepared to say today. Because my faith today will determine my future. My faith today will determine tomorrow. So church, let's no longer look at the wallet and see lack. Let's only see opportunity for God to bless us. And let's hold Him true to His scripture. Because He said to test me in this, right? So when you see zeros in your bank account, say, God, I am generous and I'm acting out. So in the name of Jesus, I call your blessing and your prosperity into my world today. God, when I wake up tomorrow morning, there should be money in my account. Amen. When I go to pay this bill, it just is going to happen. Because once I was saying, God, I have no money. And He was going, there's $200 in your bank account every week. Church, I know without a shadow of a doubt, God will give you what you need if you keep faith and take lack out of our mindset and only see prosperity, because God is our God of blessing. Amen.